that you want to come with me, you gotta listen.
I've never been there, but it feels like it.
Obviously a major malfunction.
Well, I'm not a crook.
I stand for man.
Robert Kennedy was shot in that
moment. Almighty, we are free at last.
A sniper has fired at President Kennedy.
Or something never before experienced.
1941, a date which will live.
Come on, hold that out.
And we continue the season's final edition of our Max House Good News of 1931.
Walter Winchell, good evening, Mr. Mr. North American. All the ships at sea, let's go to press.
W9GFO. CQ, this is W9GFO here. Come back. CQ, this is W9GFO here. Come back. CQ, this is W9GFO. Is anybody out there? I'm not getting anything.
Small moves, Ellie. Small moves.
CQ, this is W9GFO here. Come back.
Copy W9GFO, K4WLD here.
What do I say?
Just be yourself.
Where are you, K4WLD? Come back.
Pensacola, over.
Pensacola, where's Pensacola?
I'll give you a hint. Orange juice.
Copy that, K4WLD. How's the weather down there in Florida?
Pensacola, Florida. I have to tell you, Sparks. 1,116 miles. Pretty good. That's farthest yet. It's a big enough radio. I don't see why not.
Could we talk to Jupiter? Or what's the one after that? Don't tell me.
Neptune. I'll give you a hint. Hula hoops.
Saturn. Could we talk to Saturn?
Mm-hmm.
Dad? Could we talk to Mom?
I don't think even the biggest radio could reach that far. All right, no more stalling.
Okay. Pensacola.
Oh, Ellie, that's a beauty. I'll get some sleep.
Hey, Dad?
Yeah?
Do you think there's people on other planets?
I don't know, Sparks. But I guess I'd say, if it is just us, it seems like an awful waste of space.
CQ, this is W9GFO. Repeat, this is W9GFO, come back. CQ, this is W9GFO, come back. I'm gonna need a bigger antenna.
Dr. Arroway, isn't she a beauty?
It'll do.
The village is 5 miles away.
There's a general store in the cantina. They can pretty much order anything you need from San Juan.
Hey, we're going to get some dish time.
Dr. Clark said you wouldn't be able to wait. Your first shift is up tonight.
All right.
Go back.
Huh?
Try back a little bit. Your hand's nothing there. There.
Right there?
Yeah, you hear? Right there.
Yep.
That's it.
All right, 1221.46. That's well within the L band.
Check off axis.
Uh-huh. On it. It's not in the neighborhood. There it is, J1741 plus 2748. Catalog November 4th, 1982, Pulsar. Well, I don't know, it must have been the glitch in the timings what threw me. It must have been a starquake.
I think it's great that you listen. Most people don't do that anymore.
Well, it's just an old habit. You know, it makes it feel more real. So, Ellie.
Kent Clerk.
Hey.
They said you've been, you've been up at Owens Valley working under Drumlin. How'd you like him? That much, and about what I'd expect after what he had to say about you.
What was that?
That you are brilliant, driven, a major pain in the ass, and obsessed with a field of study that he considers tantamount to professional suicide.
Anything else?
Those were the highlights. Davio, Dr. Vernon... Dr. Arroway?
Hey, hi there.
How you doing?
Good.
And I believe you've already met our tireless research assistant, Mr. Fisher.
Yep.
Here. I need to sign.
Well, this is Cologne. Rick's looking at the black hole at the center of M87. Eli's studying Markarian 541, a major gamma ray source. And Dr. Arroway here will be spending her precious telescope time listening for
little green men. One down. A couple billion to go.
Gracias.
Elena, una cerveza también, por favor.
Arecibo, right?
Does it show?
Yeah. Crack a jack?
No, thanks.
Mind if I sit down?
Sure.
I hear the locals, they call it El Radar. Convinced it has some dark military purpose.
I think we're pretty harmless.
Palmer Joss.
Ellie Arroway.
Hey. Nice to meet you, Ellie. What are you studying up there?
The usual. Nebulae, quasars, pulsars, stuff like that. What are you writing?
The usual. Nouns, adverbs, adjective here and there.
I work on a project called the SETI.
Search for extraterrestrial intelligence? Wow. And that is out there.
Wait, are you a student or something? Mm-hmm.
A writer. I'm writing a book. Then are doing research. It's about how technology affects third world cultures. I'm also looking for this guy, David Drumlin. He's the new head honcho of the National Science Foundation. I'm trying to get an interview with him. I take it you know him?
Mm-hmm. You could say that.
Huh. SETI, man. That's fringe. Crossed paths with this guy before. I mean, it's something like that must really chap his ass, huh? Compass. That's for you, Al.
You better keep this. Might save your life someday.
Will you have dinner with me tonight?
I don't make a very good research subject. I'm just not very quotable.
No quotes. It's God's honor. Just a good meal, good company.
I gotta go. Drummond's coming in this Tuesday.
Now I remember why I took that desk job.
Dr. Drummond. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Glad you can make it, David. I know it's going to take 3 planes. I might have reconsidered.
How is that new office?
Oh, I'm still settling in. Of course, they already want to take half my budget and get to the Pentagon. Ellie, still waiting for E.T. to call?
Well, I understand we're having a little reception.
Good to see you, too. Asshole. Uh-oh, looks like it's going to be a long night.
Science must first and foremost be accountable to the people who are paying for it, the taxpayers. We need to stop wasting money on pie-in-the-sky abstractions and start spending it on practical, measurable ways to improve the lives of the people who are, after all, footing the bill.
Not unlike my L-band globular clusters.
Wait, you're saying you want to do away with all pure research now?
What's wrong with science being practical? What? Even profitable?
Nothing. As long as your motive is the search for truth, which is exactly what the pursuit of science is.
Well, that's a rather interesting position coming from a man on a crusade against the evils of technology. Father Joss?
I'm not against technology, Doctor. I'm against the men who deify it at the expense of human truth.
Kent, been meaning to have a word with you over here, please.
Here, Kent.
Yeah, I'll just...
I think that hurt my chances with that interview. What do you think?
You're a priest?
No, not really. I got my master's in divinity. Then I dropped out of seminary and went off and did some secular humanitarian work, coordinating efforts with third world churches. couldn't live at the hotel and visit me. You could call me Man of Cloth. Without cloth.
Want to get out of here? All right, you see that sort of large W-shaped constellation right there? That's Cassiopeia. And Cassiopeia A gives off a whole lot of radio signals. I actually listen to that one a lot. It's a remnant of a supernova.
When did you know you wanted to be an astronomer?
Well, when I was about 8 years old, I was watching the sunset. And I asked my dad, "What's that bright star over there?" And he said, he said that it wasn't really a star at all. It was actually...
That's not a star, that's a planet.
A whole planet called Venus.
That's a planet Venus.
Which should be over there soon. He said, you know why they called it Venus? Because they thought it was so beautiful and glowing. But what they didn't know is that it's filled with deadly gases and sulfuric acid rain. Wow, I thought, this is it. I'm hooked. Yeah, there are 400 billion stars out there, just in our galaxy alone. If only one out of a million of those had planets, all right, and if just one out of a million of those had life, and if just one out of a million of those had intelligent life, there would be literally millions of civilizations out there.
Well, if there wasn't, it'd be an awful waste of space.
Amen.
Looking at the sky. And then I felt something. I don't know. All I know is that I wasn't alone. And for the first time in my life, I wasn't scared of nothing. You know, not even dying. It was God.
And there's no chance that you had this experience because some part of you needed to have it?
I mean, I'm a reasonably intelligent guy, but this... my intellect, it couldn't even touch this.
I've been to Sunday school a few times.
Uh-huh. And?
Well, I kept asking all these really annoying questions, like, all right, then, where did Mrs. Kane come from? And pretty soon they called my dad and they asked him if he wouldn't mind just keeping me home from now on.
Your dad? Is it this guy?
Yeah.
You're close to him, aren't you?
Yeah, I was. He died when I was 9 years old. I never got to know my mother.
I'm sorry. That's gotta be tough.
Yeah.
Being alone. What do you say? We pack a picnic tomorrow morning and hike up to Old Man Arecibo.
I don't think I can. I gotta work.
All right, how about dinner then? Tomorrow night, I know a great dive.
No, I don't think so.
Ellie, did I even miss something?
Huh? No. Shit, I'm late. I told Kent that I'd be there at 2:30.
You know, I'm not trying to push you.
No. Don't be silly. I've been wanting to look at this sector for weeks. Here, just hang out and sleep in, and there's a bunch of food in the fridge. Okay?
How can I reach you?
Just leave your number. I'll call you.
Daddy?
I know it's hard to understand this now, but we aren't always meant to know the reasons why things happen the way they do. Sometimes we just have to accept it as God's will.
I should have kept some medicine in the downstairs bathroom. Then I could have gotten to it sooner. GFO, do you copy? Dad, this is Ellie. Come back. This is Eleanor Arroway, transmitting on 14.2 megahertz. Dad, are you there? Come back. Dad, are you there? Dad, this is Ellie.
Ellie?
Hey,
doing up so early, huh?
I was thinking. We'd make a pretty good team.
What?
We could put together a kick-ass ad hoc city program.
Hey, what are you talking about?
You know the very large array in New Mexico? It would be a dynamite place to do some
serious
city work.
What are you talking about, Kent?
City work. Drumlin pulled the plug. We're homeless.
You pull the
I know you can't
you
see it now,
plug?
But I'm doing you a favor.
Oh,
you're far
great.
Too promising a scientist to be wasting your gifts on this nonsense.
Look, I don't consider what could potentially be the most important discovery of the human race nonsense, okay? There's 400 billion stars out there.
And only two probabilities. One, there is intelligent life out there, but it's so far away you'll never contact it in your lifetime. And
like
two, there's nothing out there but noble gases and carbon compounds, and you're wasting your time. In the meantime, you won't be published, you won't be taken seriously, and your career will be over before it's begun.
So what? It's my life! Kent, you were right. Screw Drumlin. All right, we're going to raise the money ourselves. We're going to New Mexico.
Chicago's all set, but you'll call me and let me know how it goes. Oh, and I've got some more corporate stops set up on the East Coast for you. Hey, Fish, did that private investor from Houston ever get back to us?
I'm going to hit him up on my way to L.A.
Hey, try begging for some of that Hollywood money.
Why not? They've been making money off of aliens for years, right?
They say begging is good for the soul.
We'll see about that. There you go.
Just do me a favor.
Yeah.
Try not to be too... confrontational?
Huh? Confrontational? Me? What do you mean? Let me just see if I left anything. This is a unique time in our history, in the history of any civilization. It's the moment of the acquisition of technology. That's the moment where contact becomes possible. The very large array in New Mexico is the key to our chances for success. With its 27 linked radio telescopes, we can search more accurately than at any other conventional facility. Now, we've already gotten the preliminary approval to buy the telescope time from the government. Now, all we really need is the money.
A nice presentation, Doctor. But while our foundation arm does have a mandate to support experimental programs, we must confess that your proposal seems less like science and more like science fiction.
Science fiction. Ah, you're right. It's crazy. In fact, it's even worse than nuts. Want to hear something really nutty? I heard of a couple guys that want to build something called an airplane. You know, you get people to go in it and then fly around like birds. It's ridiculous, right? Or what about breaking the sound barrier? Or rockets to the moon? Or atomic energy? Or a mission to Mars? Science fiction, right? Look, all I'm asking is for you to just have the tiniest bit of vision. You know, to step back for 1 minute and look at the big picture. To take a chance on something that just might end up being the most... profoundly impactful moment for humanity, for the history of history. I'm sorry, I just spent the last 13 months coming into rooms like this and talking to people like you, and the truth is you're my last chance, so I'm sorry I wasted your time.
Doctor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You have your money.
Come on, fishy.
Ah, Frank, look at the size of that son of a bitch.
Welcome back, Dr. C.
How'd it go? How's the trip?
I've had better.
Drummond. What is this? Is this a personal vendetta now?
It's not just Drumlin. There's been enormous pressure from other scientists as well.
It doesn't matter anyway, because Haddon's funding us for another 2 years.
These are government-owned telescopes. They can lease them to whomever they want. And they don't want the High Priestess of the Desert using them anymore.
What?
Staring at static on TV for hours at a time, listening to washing machines? Did you really think these stories wouldn't get around?
I was looking for patterns in the chaos. Come on!
It doesn't matter anymore! That. We're a joke to them. They want us out. We've got 3 months until the paperwork goes through.
Fine. Just start looking for other funding. I'll just start writing...
Could you face reality, please? Just this once, Ellie. We lost. It's over.
Fine. I'm not stopping. If I have to go it alone, I'll go it alone. I've done it before.
My guest tonight is author and theologian Palmer Joss. He's become a spiritual counselor of sorts in a recent fixture at the White House. God's diplomat, according to the New York Times. His latest book, Losing Faith, is currently number one on that publication's bestseller list. Thanks for being with us, Palmer. You have had quite a ride this last couple of years.
Yeah, I sure have, Larry.
Fish,
you know, Thomas,
I was thinking
about me personally.
Who would make... the best astronomers.
In this country.
I mean, think about it. Who has the perfect synthesis
truly starting to
of career biology. And lifestyle?
Well, science.
I give.
Technology. Your book doesn't pull any punches. Are you anti-technology? Are you anti-science?
No, not at all. The question that I'm asking is this. Are we happier as a human race? Is the world fundamentally a better place because of science and technology?
We shop at home, we surf the web, but at the same time, we feel emptier, lonelier, and more cut off from each other than at any other time in human history. We're becoming a synthesized society in a great big hurry to get to the next temporary thing.
We're looking for the meaning. Well, what is the meaning? We have mindless jobs. We take frantic vacations, deficit finance trips to the mall to buy more things that we think are going to fill these holes in our lives. I mean, is it any wonder that we've lost our sense of direction?
Partially polarized set of moving pulses, amplitude modulated.
We're locked. Systems check out signal across the board. What's the frequency?
4.4623 gigahertz. Hydrogen times pi. Told you.
Strong sucker, too.
I got it! I'm patched in!
All right, let me hear it. Me a liar, Fish.
Could be AWACS out of Kirtland jamming us, but I'm doubting it.
All right, let's see if Fudd's reading it too. Willie, patch it back and give me the off axis. Are we recording?
Never stopped.
Thank you, Elmer.
AWACS status is negative.
Now what about White Sands?
On this frequency, no.
I'm gonna punch up the darks. How's the spine tonight, guys? Come on. All right.
NORAD's not tracking any snoops in this vector. Shuttle endeavors in sleep mode.
Okay, point source confirmed. Whatever it is, it ain't local.
Position?
I checked interferometry somewhere in Lyra, I think.
Vega?
Can't be. It's only 26 light years away.
Hey, what's the peak intensity?
Coming up.
Vega. Vega, man. Ended a bunch of times at Arecibo. It was negative results, always.
Got it. Reading over 100 jet skis.
Jesus. Pick it up on my...
All right, it's restarting. Wait a minute. Those are numbers. That was a 3. The one before it was a 2. Base 10 numbers. Just start counting now.
That's
see how far we can get. 1.
Seven.
Those are primes. 2, 3, 5, 7. Those are all prime numbers. And there's no way that's a natural phenomenon.
Holy shit.
Okay, let's just calm down and pull up the star file on Vega.
It doesn't make any sense. The system is too
zero
young, so it can't have a planetary system, let alone life, let alone its logical civilization.
Well, maybe they didn't grow up there. Maybe they're just visiting. I don't know.
Okay, so spacecraft? No, this system is full of debris. It would get clobbered.
Well, not if they used their laser blasters and photon torpedoes.
That's not funny, Willie.
Well, how else are we going to explain it? That's what you're talking about.
Willie's right. If we go public with this and we're wrong, that's it. It's over. We're cooked. God, I wish Kent was here.
Whatever the signal is, we better do something soon. Vega's gonna set.
That position is confirmed. We've got 4.4623 gigahertz. Confirmed. We've got 112 Jamskis.
All right, do you have a source location yet?
We put it right smack in the middle. Vega.
Okay, thanks, Ian. Just keep tracking, and we'll get back to you.
Yeah, righto.
Okay, 101. The pulse sequence through every prime number between 2 and 101.
Who are we gonna call now?
Everybody.
Flying, the implications extraordinary. This morning, detection of an unidentified radio source from deep space can neither be confirmed nor denied. But the military presence arriving behind
sources close to the VLA reports that the planet has indeed been contacted by some form of intelligent being living outside of our solar system. Again, there is no confirmation that
official IAUPK was sent from this government facility.
I want all these people out of here.
The security advisor,
where's the girl?
Valencia.
22 stations worldwide now confirming the signal. Vega is currently below our horizon, so what you're hearing is the signal from the retina.
Let's get
the
Christian people in here now. Lena Chosky is visiting at Caltech.
Explain this to me. If the source of the signal is so sophisticated, why the remedial math?
Exactly. Why don't they just speak English?
Yeah, well, maybe because 70% of the planet speaks other languages. Mathematics is the only truly universal language, Senator. It's no coincidence that they're using primes.
I don't get it.
Prime numbers. That would be integers that are only divisible by themselves and one. Yeah, we think that this may be a beacon, some kind of an announcement to get our attention.
Well, if it's attention you want, I think you got that. One thing, Vega. People have been looking at Vega for years. No results, and now, yesterday, they start broadcasting primes. Why?
Well, it's hardly yesterday, because the signal has been transmitting for 26 years.
Dr. Arleigh.
Excuse me, who are
Ellie,
you?
Michael Kitts, National Security Advisor.
Doctor, let me first say that your reputation...
Actually, first, could you ask the gentleman with the firearms to wait outside? It's supposed to be a civilian facility.
Doctor, with all due respect to your scientific knowledge.
Hey. Hi. Oh, I'm so glad you're back. Come on, I got something for you to hear.
Is this great?
Who are all these people?
I have no idea. Here, sit down, and we could use some help with the spectrum analysis, okay?
Oh, God, listen to that. I'll get right out.
I'll get you the headsets.
So I'll just come right to the point, shall I? Your having sent this announcement all over the world may well constitute a breach of national security.
Boy, this isn't a person-to-person call. You can't possibly think that a civilization sending this kind of message would intend it just for Americans.
I'm saying you might have consulted us. Obviously, the contents of this message could be extremely sensitive.
Do you want to classify prime
numbers now? Mike, please. Because of the Earth's rotation, we're only in line with Vega so many hours a day. The only way to completely monitor the signal is to get the cooperation of other stations. If Dr. Arroway hadn't acted quickly, we could have lost key elements.
Okay, fine. They've got the primes, but if you're right about there being a more significant transmission still
which
to come...
Which will also need the network's help to receive and decode, by
Doctor, do you understand that my job is to check...
I hear it.
Hear what?
Harmonic?
Bingo. I had really asked for tandem. Retune to 8.9247 gigahertz. There's a lot more here, folks.
All right, Fish, let's get on the negative sideband.
I'm already on it.
What is going on?
Another signal.
Whoa, look at all
another
this.
Signal.
Yeah,
look at
second
that.
Signal at double the frequency. It looks like... Somebody get a TV monitor. All right, patch the recording into the image processor.
You want the new data?
Yeah, the new frequency, the one we just recorded.
Hi.
David, would you explain this to me, please?
Along with the prime, there's another signal. Looks like a TV transmission. We're hot.
All right, do me a favor. Go get the blinds. It has a lot of glare.
You're patched in.
All right, it's definitely an image. Let's try and stabilize it. What do you make of that, Fish?
It's almost like they're two different interlaced frames. They're framing one.
It's just noise.
Trying frame two.
I've got an offset carrier here. I think it's audio.
Well, plug it in.
Center that segment.
Centering.
Can you clean it up any more than that, Fish?
I'm working on it.
Try zooming out. I freeze.
Reverse values.
Try zooming out again. Rotate 90 degrees counterclock.
My God.
Okay.
What's going on?
Does anybody speak German?
I declare the games in Berlin at the celebration of the first Olympics of the new era is open.
Million people died defeating that son of a bitch, and he's our first ambassador to outer space.
Actually, the Hitler
broadcast
were the first...
The 36 Olympics was the first television transmission of any power that went into space. That they recorded it and sent it back is simply a way of saying, hello, we heard you.
Or Sieg Heil, you're our kind of people.
Wait a minute. Hitler and his politics have nothing to do with this. I mean, it's highly unlikely that they would understand what they were looking
Excuse
at, and
me,
people
I...
need to understand the science.
The people are in very good hands, Dr. Arroway. We'll take it from here.
The White House has just released a statement confirming that a message of unknown origin emanating from deep space has been received by American scientists. Claire Shipman is at the White House.
Donna, we've just been told that the president will have only a few brief remarks about today's extraordinary announcement and that he won't be taking any questions from the press.
Good afternoon. I'm glad to be joined by my science and technology advisor. This is the product of years of exploration by some of the world's most distinguished scientists. Like all discoveries, this one will and should continue to be reviewed, examined, and scrutinized. It must be confirmed by other scientists. But clearly, the fact that something of this magnitude is being explored is another
Fish,
vindication.
What is the story over here? I thought Ellie was supposed to be on.
Continuing support even in these times.
Guys. You know those interlaced frames that we thought were noise? This says structure. I'm hearing structure.
If this discovery is confirmed, it will surely be one of the most stunning insights into our universe that science has ever uncovered. Its implications are as far-reaching and awe-inspiring as can be imagined. Even as it promises answers to some of our oldest questions, it poses still others even more fundamental. We will continue to listen closely to what it has to say as we continue the search for answers and for knowledge that is as old as humanity itself, but essential to our people's future. Thank you.
Mr. President,
we'll answer your questions at the end, but first, a few corrections. The message was received Friday morning, 6:31 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. It was largely mathematical, and in spite of the reports that you may have seen to the contrary, appears to be completely benign in nature. Let me say that again. The message is completely benign. The president has been in touch with heads of state from around the world, and every possible security measure is being taken. To better explain to you the events of the last 48 hours, I'm turning you over to the leader of the scientific team that made this remarkable discovery, Dr. David Drumlin, special science advisor to the president.
Thank you, Rachel. Hello. In 1936, a very faint television signal transmitted the opening ceremonies of the Olympic Games as a show of German superior technology. That signal left Earth at the speed of light and 26 years later arrived in the vicinity of the star we call Vega. That signal has been sent back to us hugely amplified, an unmistakable sign of intelligence. Now,
you're online, kid. Go ahead.
The Adolf transmission used 25 frames per second, but we're receiving 50 frames per second, so we can the other 25 through a series of search algorithms to see if there was anything else. We found a series of markers on the top of each frame. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Send it, Willie.
Okay, here it comes.
It's digital. Massive amounts of data, which extend right to the higher harmonics.
Jackpot. All right, as you'll see, interlaced with the frames of the original Hitler image, we found these sections. Now, we thought they were just noise, but they're actually data, huge amounts of it. Now, when we combine this with the data from the amplification of the original signal, we get these encrypted pages of text. Now, no two are alike, and we've uncovered over 10,000 already.
What does it mean, Doctor?
Well, we have no idea. It could be anything. It could be the first volume of an Encyclopedia Galactica.
Instructions to acquaint us with their colonization procedures.
Moses with a few billion new commandments.
How long will it take to decode it?
Oh, it could take forever. Well, we really need a primer up.
We need to get the best decryption people we have. I intend to use the VLA as my command post. In the meantime, my office is made out of preliminary budget.
Well, wait a minute. This is a privately funded operation. We're only leasing this time from the government.
If there's a more clear-cut case of eminent domain, I've never seen it. I'm going to recommend to the president that we militarize this project immediately.
What? This is my project. Nobody knows more about these scenarios than I do. David, tell them how many years that I've been working.
Excuse me, could we calm down here? Now, I'm going to recommend that Dr. Drumlin administer and coordinate the decryption effort. However, in light of Dr. Arroway's long experience in these matters, for the time being, she will continue to direct operations at the VLA, with the express understanding that any future discoveries will be kept in the strictness of confidence until such time as the president can decide the most suitable course of action. Understood?
Yes.
CNN breaking news.
The president made a brief statement calling the message from Vega one of the most stunning insights into our
attendance at religious services has risen a dramatic 39% in recent days.
As police and three German armed divisions clashed with neo-Nazi protesters.
So it turns out there's life on other planets. Boy, this is really going to change the Miss Universe contest, don't you think? I mean, gee, we're going to have to...
Health officials from around the world are concerned that the message from Vega might trigger a rash of mass suicides, not unlike the recent cult deaths near San Diego.
Even a scientist has to admit that there are some pretty serious religious overtones to all this.
Let's hear from someone whose organization has been accused of conducting its own inquisition in recent days. Richard Rank, head of the Conservative Coalition.
Thank you. This is yet another example of science intruding into matters of faith. Now they will have us set a place at the table for politics.
They have been reacting to TV signals they got from us in the 1930s. They're just getting them.
Imagine how disappointed they're going to turn out to be if they're Cubs fans.
I mean, we now take you to Jeremy Walk, who is reporting on events at the very large array near Socorro, New Mexico.
Like a bolt from the blue it came. What is being called the message from Vega has caused thousands of believers and non-believers to descend upon the VLA facility here in the remote desert of New Mexico. Many have come to protest, many to pray, but most have come to participate in what has become the best show in town.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had one long horn and one big eye. Commenced to shaking and I said, "Ooh-wee, looks like a purple people eater to me." It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. One, two, three. I want to be a spaceman.
Now these scientists have had their chance. Are these the kind of people that you want talking to your God for you?
Efforts continue around the clock, but for now, almost two full weeks after the message's arrival, scientists here at the VLA still have no answers, only more questions. Jeremy Roth, CNN, Socorro, New Mexico.
More on the quest for the message's meaning after this.
We gotta line up somehow.
Yeah, well, this one doesn't fit either.
We've tried over a million permutations. All these, I can only get three corners to fit. I don't understand the significance.
Broken. Hello? Hey, listen, I don't know who you are, but you broke into the database and I'm... What now? Where? I'll be there.
Dr. Arroway. I presume.
Mr. Haddon.
I've had my eye on you a long time, Doctor. I consider you one of my most valuable long-term investments. And when it comes to my investments, I always do my homework. Eleanor Ann Arroway, born 25th August, 1964, De Pere, Wisconsin. Mother, Joanna, died from complications during childbirth. Early testing indicated high predisposition towards science and mathematics. Father, Theodore, advised to provide enrichment activities along these lines, did so conscientiously until his death from myocardial infarction, November 10, 1974. You were graduated from high school in 1979, almost 2 full years early. Awarded full scholarship, MIT, graduated magna cum laude. Doctoral work, Caltech, where you did breakthrough work on the lanthanide dope ruby maser, dramatically increasing the sensitivity of radio telescopes. Subsequently, offered a teaching position at Harvard University, which you turned down, to pursue SETI work at the Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico. Changes in NSF policy gave rise to certain funding problems, at which point you came to my attention.
You compromised our security codes.
Once upon a time, I was a hell of an engineer. Please, sit, Doctor. I have guests so rarely, it's important to me that they feel welcome in my home.
You live here?
I find it convenient to keep my interests mobile. Anyway, I've had my fill of life on the ground.
Well, I guess I should thank you for having bailed me out all that time.
I know a good bet when I see one. Earl Grey, no sugar, no milk, I believe.
What am I doing here?
Powers that be have been very busy lately, falling over each other to position themselves for the game of the millennium. Maybe I can help deal you back in.
I didn't realize that I was out.
Oh, maybe not out, but certainly being handed your hat. I've had a long time to make enemies, Doctor. And there are many governments, business interests, even religious leaders that would like to see me depart this earth. I'll grant them their wish soon enough. But before I do, I wish to make a small contribution. A final gesture of goodwill to the people of this little planet that have given. From whom I have taken so much.
You found the primer.
Clever girl. Lights. Pages and pages of data. Over 63,000 in all. And on the perimeter of each...
Alignment symbols, registration mark, but they don't line up.
They do. If you think like a Vegan. An alien intelligence is going to be more advanced, and that means efficiency functioning on multiple levels and in multiple dimensions.
Yes, of course. Where's the primer?
You see, every three-dimensional page contains a piece of the primer. There it was all the time, staring you in the face. Buried within the message itself
is the key to decoding it. Within the layering of the matrix, we have these basic equations. So with this very elementary foundation, they've given us a kind of general scientific vocabulary. We now have the symbols for true and false.
This was the key, to put it simply, that allowed us to decipher their language for physics, geometry... chemistry. Next frame, Ellie.
Yes, and when we apply this to the rest of the message, we find this.
Those look like engineering schematics, almost like blueprints.
Yeah.
Yes, it is our belief that the message contains instructions for building something, some kind of machine.
A machine? That does what, Doctor?
Well, we don't know. It might be some type of advanced communication device, or it could be a teaching machine of some kind, or it might turn out to be some kind of a transport.
Transport?
There's no proof of that.
The fact is, you don't know what it does. It could be anything. It could be a Trojan horse. We build it and outpours the entire Vegan army.
Why bother even risking the personnel? It could be a weapon.
Right. Some kind of a doomsday machine.
Exactly. Every time they detect a new civilization, they fax down these construction documents from outer space. We poor saps build whatever this thing is and blow ourselves to kingdom come.
There's no reason to believe that their intentions are hostile.
Why is it the default position of the egghead set that aliens would always be benign? Why is that, Doctor?
We pose no threat to them. It would be like us going out of our way to destroy a few microbes on some anthill in Africa.
It's an interesting analogy. And how guilty would we feel if we went and destroyed a few microbes on an anthill in Africa?
I hope you're right, Doctor. I really do. But right now, my job is to protect American lives from any plausible threat. And in that regard, I am obligated to assume the worst.
Well, yes, and I'm forced to agree with you. My problem is this. The content of that message is morally ambiguous at best. Now, our internal numbers show support for this is incredibly soft. So if the president wishes to stay this course, I can guarantee you you're going to find his numbers going south like a... duck in winter.
This is nuts.
Excuse me, miss. We know nothing of these creatures' values. The fact of the matter is we don't even know whether they believe in God.
This doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you were going to ask...
Excuse me, Dr. Arroway. We won't be suppressing any opinions here today.
No, of course not. I understand. What I meant to say is that the message was written in the language of science. Now, if it had been religious in nature, it should have taken on the form of a burning bush or a big booming voice from the sky.
But a voice from the sky is exactly what you found, Dr. Arroway. I'm sorry I'm late, ma'am. Now, I agree with Mr. Rank that there are unavoidable religious implications at stake here, but that doesn't justify taking an alarmist position. My hope here is that we can find a common ground, break through any obstacles that may have kept us apart.
Right, well, perhaps we can get...
Yes, and I need to make one thing very clear. Our organization will not be mollified or placated with flowery New Age rhetoric from... Mr. President.
The president met with his top advisors today regarding the latest efforts to decode the message. While there have been reports of some progress, the official line remains a cautious one.
If you're asking me when we'll find out what the purpose of that machine is, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, maybe never.
There he is, the man with his finger on the spiritual pulse of the nation, huh?
So good to see you, Ellie.
You too.
Your discovery, all of this, it must be a real vindication. I'm really happy for you.
Are you?
Mr. Joss, the president's waiting.
Okay.
President's waiting.
Yeah. Oh, Ellie, see you at the reception tonight?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't miss it.
All right, great.
Excuse me, Miss Constantine, may I speak to you?
Oh, certainly.
I have a big problem.
Yes?
Do you know where I can find, like, a really great dress?
Beautiful, Ellie.
So do you.
Yeah, you really do.
I read your book.
Here we go.
Would you like me to quote you? Ironically, the thing that people are most hungry for, meaning, is the one thing that science hasn't been able to give them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. It's like you're saying that science killed God. What if science simply revealed that he never existed in the first place?
I think we're gonna need to get some air.
What?
And a few more of these.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Whew, a little chilly out here.
Yeah, this is nice.
I got one for you.
What do you got?
Occam's Razor. You've ever heard of it?
Occam's Razor. It sounds like some slasher movie.
No, Occam's Razor. It's a basic scientific principle. And it says, all things being equal, the simplest explanation tends to be the right one.
Makes sense to me.
All right. So what's more likely? Thank you.
You're welcome.
An all-powerful, mysterious God created the universe and then decided not to give any proof of his existence. Or that he simply doesn't exist at all and that we created him. So we wouldn't have to feel so small and alone.
I don't know. I couldn't imagine living in a world where God didn't exist. You know? I wouldn't want to.
How do you know you're not deluding yourself? I mean, for me, I'd need proof.
Proof? Did you love your father?
What?
Your dad, did you love him?
Yes. Very much.
Prove it.
Kent.
The White House.
Mr. Joss?
I don't want excuses. Whoever's responsible, I want their head on a platter, Kelly.
What happened?
You were right all along.
The decryption team here at the VLA has been working around the clock, and all the hard work has finally paid off. This key section, uncovered tonight and obtained exclusively by CNN, shows an illustration of what is unmistakably a human figure inside a geometric structure of some kind. This and other contextual clues now lead scientists to believe that the message is in fact
the President's called emergency meeting.
Device designed to take a single human occupant into space, presumably to the star Vega.
Tell me.
They're going to build it.
Who gets to go?
The president's just gone international to spread the risk of construction cost on this thing.
And who gets to go, though?
It's complicated, Ellie.
What?
They have formed a group of international candidates.
Oh.
No, it's your discovery. Okay, they understand that. You're at the top of a very short list. But they're also putting together a formal selection committee. It's made up of scholars, theologians, scientists, philosophers.
You're on it.
I've been asked, yes.
I guess that means that you're a selector and I'm a selectee, and that we can't...
Yeah. What you don't understand, Ellie, is...
I understand.
Ellie, I want you to know whatever happens, as far as I'm concerned, well... Good luck.
Well, whatever you do, just make sure he doesn't monopolize the committee, right?
He's not on the committee, Ellie.
What?
He just resigned as science advisor. He wants to be the one to go.
The president is already beginning to feel the financial pinch. Consortium sources say the cost of the project is spiraling to more than $333 billion, making this what may be the most expensive single project in all of human history.
Meanwhile, months of debate finally reached a conclusion of sorts last week as 10 international candidates were selected by the IMC. Representing a cross-section of political, philosophical, and religious views, many of these scientists are the same experts who have been consulting on the machine's design and function. As such, they will be actively participating on site during the construction process. But the choice of these 10 candidates has not been without controversy. Fully one-third of the candidates are American. Many international observers are asking why.
The U.S. is shouldering an enormous percentage of the financial burden.
But isn't it true that a lot of the large contractors, like Haddon Industries, are actually making those contributions in exchange for technology rights?
Different nations are being compensated in different ways. For example,
Japan made headlines last month when it announced it would forego candidate representation in exchange for the lucrative systems integration subcontract.
On what basis do you choose a human being to represent humanity?
Good question, Larry.
Yes, well, if nothing else, it should be somebody who's fluent in the language that the message was given in. Science, in this case.
Dr. Arroway, despite your obvious enthusiasm, there's been a lot of criticism of late that this whole endeavor is simply too dangerous. Some of that criticism from scientists. One Nobel Prize winner recently noted his words, "There is every indication that this is simply beyond our capabilities, that this endeavor will fail, and that the machine's occupant will pay for that failure with their life." How do you respond to something like that?
Well, this message is from a civilization that may be anywhere from hundreds to millions and millions of years ahead of us. I have to believe that an intelligence that advanced knows what they're doing. Now, all it requires on our part is...
Faith?
I was going to say a sense of adventure.
And in breaking news, Major John Russell, a former astronaut considered to be the leading American candidate for the machine seat, has unexpectedly dropped out of the running. Russell met with reporters this afternoon at his Houston home.
I told my dad that I didn't want him to go.
Daddy, don't go.
Nothing would give me more pride than to represent my country. But what can I say to this?
Consortium officials had no comment, but sources within the American delegation have disclosed that Dr. Arroway appears to now be the front runner for the machine seat.
Meet me at noon. Must talk. I sure didn't expect to be getting a message like this from you.
Thanks for coming.
So is this kosher? Fraternizing with the enemy? Selectors and selectees mingling around?
Can we talk about Einstein?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Special relativity.
Yeah.
This machine. Now, if it works, and you travel to Vega at even close to the speed of light, when you come back...
If you come back.
If you come back, you'll only be 4 years older, but over 50 years would have passed here on Earth.
Basically, yeah.
And everybody that you care about will be gone, dead and buried.
If you came back, if you survived at all, which... Look, Palmer, nobody's saying this isn't dangerous, right? The rest of the candidates and myself, we fully understand the implications, the risks that we're taking.
Why?
Because it's a historic opportunity, because the world needs...
You, Ellie, you. You personally. Now, by doing this, you're willing to give your life. You're willing to die for it. Why?
From as long as I can remember, I've been searching for something, some reason why we're here. What are we doing here? Who are we? If this is a chance to find out even just a little part of that answer, I don't know. I think it's worth a human life. Don't you?
You're an incredibly brave woman, Ellie.
Incredibly nuts.
I think I speak for us all when I thank you for your patience. Myself, I have one final question, Dr. Arroway. If you should meet these Vegans and were permitted only one question to ask of them, what would it be?
Well, I suppose it would be, how did you do it? How did you evolve? How did you survive this technological adolescence without destroying yourself? That, more than any other question, is the one that I personally would like to have answered.
Not too bad, Mike. Mm.
I joined Dr. Bergeron in expressing thanks for your patience, Dr. Arroway. We've all been most impressed with your candor and your stamina. I believe we are ready to move on to your final statement.
Madam Chairman, I have one more question.
Yes, Mr. Joss.
Dr. Arroway, would you consider yourself a spiritual person?
I don't really understand the point of the question. I consider myself a moral person.
I'm sure we all agree that is the case, but I think what Mr. Joss is in fact asking...
Do you believe in God?
As a scientist, I rely on empirical evidence, and in this matter, I don't believe that there is data either way.
So your answer would in fact be that you don't believe in God?
I don't understand the relevance of the question.
Dr. Arroway, 95% of the world's population believes in a supreme being in one form or another. I believe that makes the question more than relevant.
Dr. Arroway?
I believe, um,
I believe I've already answered that question.
I'm proud of what we've achieved as a species and as a civilization. I would hate to see everything we stand for, all that we have fought for a thousand generations, all that God has blessed us with,
betrayed in the final hour because we chose to send a representative who did not put our most cherished beliefs first. Thank you.
Why'd you do it?
Our job was to select someone to speak for everybody. I just couldn't in good conscience vote for a person who doesn't believe in God. Someone who honestly thinks the other 95% of us suffer from some form of mass delusion.
I told the truth up there, and Drumlin told you exactly what you wanted to hear.
With full humility and utmost gratitude, I accept this great honor, and I promise I will do my best to represent my nation, my planet, and my God on this historic journey. I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Carnival atmosphere here at Cape Canaveral as the International Machine Consortium hosts as much a media event as a systems test. David Drumlin is supervising the on-site portion of the test. We spoke with him earlier today.
We'll be able to monitor the stresses and effects using the robot passenger, who we lovingly call Helmut.
We have lined up on 2 hours. All
questions,
okay.
They're done with Dr. Drumlin.
Send to the wings to the core. Now, at the moment I release the pod, there'll be a substantial amount of energy generated at the core. We'll be able to monitor the stresses and effects using our robot passenger, who we lovingly call Elmer.
Thank you.
Range safety.
Welcome.
The test area is clear and go.
Sir, they're ready for you out of the site.
31, call 4613.
Just a minute.
31, 4613.
The test director has issued a go to enter the final countdown phase.
Ellie.
Congratulations, David.
Glad you could come. Didn't expect to see you here.
Well, I'm still, crew ops at the control center, and I suppose the fact that I discovered the message means that I have some PR value.
Of course. Ellie, I know you must think this is all very unfair. Maybe that's an understatement.
What you don't know is I agree. I wish the world was a place where fair was the bottom line, where the kind of idealism you showed at the hearing was rewarded, not taken advantage of. Unfortunately, we don't live in that world.
Funny, I've always believed that the world is what we make of it.
Excuse me, Dr. Drummond, sir?
Good luck on the test.
The pad leader has issued the order to clear the pad of all non-essential personnel. Right this way, sir.
Test director, everything looks good up here. We're ready to go.
All right, people, I want things double and triple checked here. We only get one shot at this. Let's get it right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to start up. All controllers, I need a go, no go for test initiation. Mechanical?
Go.
Electrical?
Go.
Dynamics?
Go.
Communications?
Go.
Fire systems?
Go.
Safety?
Go.
Crew ops, verify all pre-test procedures are complete.
Yes, verified. I'm go.
Pad leader, we are looking good here. Is everything okay with you?
Roger. The pad is a go.
Test initiation on my mark. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mark.
Test start.
Rings are unlocked. Power levels indicate a good start.
And we have begun the full-scale test of Earth's first system built by the sharing of knowledge with a neighbor in our universe.
All power sources on core induction bus.
IPV power transfer.
Ring motion detect. Alpha, Bravo, Charlie.
Jerry, how are we looking?
Looks good. We're underway.
Looks like we have a normal startup.
Roger, David. It's looking good here.
We are moments away from the initiation of the drop sequence. All systems are go.
Mechanical, you still happy?
Roger that.
Tell you, this is very exciting from up here.
We've got 4%.
We're confirming 4%. Frequency niner 0.85. Harmonics in the green. G level 1.1.
5%.
Confirm. We are at 5%. David, how's it looking to you?
Okay. I'm going to take a look and show you what we got.
All test subject instrumentation looks good.
Confirm. We have a good picture from Dr. Drummond's PRD.
Hope you guys are seeing what I'm seeing.
All systems are go.
This is really something.
For the purposes of this test, Dr. Drummond will be on top of the gantry crane that's over the machine. We've got some video animation to show you just how this machine, it is thought, will work. The passenger pod will be released. It'll come down through the center of the rings and into the machine's core. The big question everyone here is asking is, of course, what happens then? Some believe that the rings function as some sort of an accelerator or something, sending its energy into this passenger pod, making it rocket away at near the speed of light. Other people believe it might open up a doorway to some other dimension. Who's right? Well, that's what today's test is all about.
35%.
SEP systems, are you ready?
40% normal
Roger,
acceleration.
Mechanical, we're ready.
Confirm 40%.
All controllers, stand by to initiate drop sequence. On my mark.
All systems ready for drop sequence.
45%.
We're in 45%. Okay, verify closure.
46.
All controllers, stand by to initiate IPV drop sequence. On my mark.
48%.
Test director, I'm feeling a very strange vibration. Are you feeling it down there?
Jerry, can you confirm any vibration out of limits?
Negative. Everything looks good here.
Crew ops?
Nothing wrong with Elmer.
David, we're not seeing anything abnormal down here.
No good. Hold the sequence. I'm going to take a direct reading.
What the hell's he talking about?
Can anyone say grandstanding?
He sure knows he's on TV.
Back home, that's what we call an overcooked ham.
I'm reading 10 kilohertz. What's your reading on a first and second order G levels?
G levels are right on.
TD, we confirm Drummond's readings and they're all normal. We're go.
Copy that, Dynamics. I think we're okay, but we'll let him finish. Mechanical, you still okay?
Roger, TD. We're right on the button.
We got a security problem here.
Ellie, are you sure?
Yeah, this guy. He shouldn't be there. I know him.
Jerry, execute the rapid shutdown sequence. Security, move the emergency response team into position one.
Get me Drummond on a secure loop, please.
Four master power.
Got him.
David, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear.
Right, we've got a security breach here. Right behind you, the tall guy, the technician. See him?
Ring drive power is off.
He's not supposed to be there. David, he's got something in his hand.
Hey! Take him! Security breach!
It's a bomb. He's got a bomb.
He's got a bomb!
I want that emergency response team up on the gantry now. Security stage one alert. Fire car, move all fire and rescue personnel to position one.
Evacuate the pad. Personnel, evacuate them. Immediately.
I need you to be professional, people. Settle down. Bad leader. Leave traffic. Calm one.
The scene earlier today when David Drumlin, advisor to two presidents and winner of the National Academy of Sciences Lifetime Award of Excellence, was laid to rest at Arlington National Cemetery. In a related story, last night's death raid on a Utah motel resulted in the discovery
of mail for you.
Amateur video, the apparent suicide note of the leader of a terrorist group now believed responsible for the explosion in Florida this week.
What we do for the goodness of all mankind. This won't be understood, not now, but the apocalypse to come will vindicate our faith.
Подними. Я включи вот эту. Москва, 3215. Comrade Attaway. He has been expecting your call. One moment, please.
Mr. Head?
Doctor. How kind of you to call.
Mr. Haddon, where are you?
The Russian government was kind enough to give me accommodations on Mir.
You're living on a space station?
It's quite simple, really. The low oxygen, zero gravity environment is the only thing keeping the cancer from eating me alive. Actually, I quite like it up here. My little room has one hell of a view.
Want to show you something? Hokkaido Island.
The systems integration site.
Look closer. First rule in government spending. Why build one when you can have two twice the price? Only this one can be kept secret. Controlled by Americans. Built by the Japanese subcontractors. Who also happen to be recently acquired wholly owned subsidiaries
of Haddon Industries.
They still want an American to go, Doctor. Want to take a ride?
Implementing our restraint and communications console subsystem, we have your personal recording unit, normal, infrared, and ultraviolet lenses. Digital microchip good for thousands of hours of recording.
Okay, look, I understand the reason for recording and documenting the mission, but I want to go on record one more time. Okay, the transmitted specs never said anything about any chair or a restraining harness or survival gear. Why can't we just trust the original...
Doctor, both the IMC board and the SI team carefully reviewed the matter and concluded the design impact is negligible. Bottom line is, we're not putting anybody aboard this machine unless there is some sort of minimal protection. Minimal protection. End of story.
Ellie, we've been giving these to the astronauts since the beginning of the space program. It's never been made public, of course. It's fast and it's painless.
I'm going to travel 26 light years to commit suicide.
Something may go wrong. There may be an unforeseen mechanical failure. You could be marooned, unable to return. There are 1,000 reasons we can think of for you to have this with you. But mostly it's for the reasons we can't think of.
Come in.
Dr. Wei, time to get ready.
Thank you.
I know you don't have much time, but as soon as I found out about the machine, I called the president. I came with kits. I had to see you one more time. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, I'm glad you came.
Listen, there's something I gotta say to you. The reason I didn't vote for you to go, Ellie, was a good reason, but it wasn't the real one. I didn't vote for you to go because I don't want to lose you. And you find your way home, all right?
33 hours ago, the world was stunned by the announcement of the existence of a second machine and its passenger, Eleanor Ann Arroway. Now, the question that's on everyone's mind, will history repeat itself? With a piece of engineering this complex, with so many unknowns, could the unthinkable occur? The security in Hokkaido has been incredibly tight. No reporters whatsoever have been allowed near the site.
Magnetical strand is secure. All life support functions are normal.
Roger that. Elliot.
This is Control. Do you copy?
Elliot Control, reading you 5x5.
Com 1, give me Ellie's PRD.
Video unit recording and transmitting.
Mechanical neck support.
Go ahead, next.
Are you reading me?
That's affirmative. Video looks good.
All preps are complete for
copy that, Control.
Okay. Roger. Ellie, we're going to proceed to button you up.
Roger, Control. I'm ready. I can confirm
go.
The walkway retraction.
Systems, go.
Communications.
Go.
Life support.
Go.
Ellie, we are go for closure.
I'm go. Here.
Mechanical. Initiate IPV closure sequence.
Wilco.
Hold on, Fitzchair.
I'm go.
Here. Nice to smell you again, Mr. Kitts.
You too.
Wouldn't peg him as a polo man.
Visual on the door.
IPV escape system is armed.
Door is looking good.
Door alignment looks good.
Thank you.
clear showing green across the board.
Copy that, Control. IPV is secure.
We are at 30%.
Copy that, 30%.
How you doing in there, Al?
Ken?
Is that you?
That's a big affirmative.
Who let you in there, huh?
A higher power intervened.
Well, I'm glad you came. Copy that, 35%.
Mechanical?
We're good.
40%.
I'm picking up a moderate vibration here.
Dynamics, can you confirm vibration?
Everything looks good here. She's feeling the same thing they felt at the Cape at this point.
Ellie, the vibration is normal.
We are at 50%, all systems nominal.
Copy that, 50%. Vibration's getting a little stronger now.
We're picking up some low frequency noise.
Mechanical, can you confirm?
It looks fine to me.
Roger. Jerry, what do you think?
I'm still go.
People, we are still go.
Something's happening. There's a light. Do you see that?
I'm seeing something.
I can't tell whether it's daylight or not. There it is again. It's coming from the bottom. Let me show it to you. Do you see that?
Negative. Ella, you're breaking up. Com 1, can we boost our signal?
Ready at maximum. 65%.
The material is changing. It's bordering on translucence. The system's intact. There's got to be some kind of electromagnetic field. Are you reading this?
Negative. We're seeing only interference.
Becoming completely translucent. I can't describe it. I can't even explain it.
70%.
People, we have intermittent comm, but we are still go. Initiate secondary drive systems.
Initiating auxiliary booster sequence.
We're go for ignition. We have auxiliary booster ignition.
Life support, how's she doing?
Still have data, heart and respiration are high, but within limits, she's okay.
Ellie, do you copy?
You can hear? I am okay to go. You can hear me?
80%. All vibration and G levels are in the green.
Control, if you're reading me, I am okay to go. Okay to go.
85%.
All bearing tips are on the profile.
90%. We're detecting some structural instability.
Confirmed. Does she hold?
We're within limits. Barely.
I'm okay to go.
Target velocity.
Steve, picking up tremendous EMI levels around the machine. All field measurements are pegged off scale high.
Steve, we're approaching our abort limits.
Okay, go!
I hear her. Barely, but she's there.
Okay, go!
She says she's okay to go.
Steve, we're real close.
Electrical, what's your reading in the core?
The internal environment looks normal. Inside the core, the weather's beautiful.
I'm okay to go.
Initiate drop sequence. On my mark. 10. 9.
Power transfer.
8. 7.
must have gone through a wormhole. It's Vega. Quadruple system. Oh, it's beautiful. They're alive. Some celestial event. No. No words. No words to describe. Bullish me. They should have sent a poet.
So beautiful. Beautiful.
So beautiful. I had no idea.
I had no idea. I had no idea.
I had no idea.
I had no idea.
Thank you.
Hi, Sparks.
Dad?
I missed you.
Haven't you?
Oh, I'm sorry I couldn't be there for you, sweetheart.
You're not real. None of this is real.
That's my scientist.
When I was unconscious, you downloaded my thoughts, my memories, even Pensacola.
We thought this might make things easier for you.
Why did you contact us?
You contacted us. We were just listening.
And there are others?
Many others.
They all travel here through that transit system that you built.
We didn't build it. We don't know who did. No, they were gone long before we ever got here. Maybe someday they'll come back.
All the other civilizations that you find, they come here.
Not all.
Is this some test?
No, no tests. You have your mother's hands. You're an interesting species. An interesting mix. You're capable of such beautiful dreams and such horrible nightmares. You feel so lost, so cut off, so alone. Only you're not. See, in all our searching, the only thing we've found that makes the emptiness bearable is each other.
What happens now?
Now? You go home.
Home? But I have so many questions. Do we get to come back?
This was just the first step. In time, you'll take another.
Then other people need to see what I've seen. They need to see...
This is the way it's been done for billions of years. Small moves, Ellie. Small moves.
She's through. She is in the net.
She's alive. Get to
the right house. Get to the right house. Get to the right house. Get to the right
house.
Ellie, this is control. Do you copy?
I don't know. Hang on.
She is alive.
Put her on the PA.
Sir.
Ellie, just hold on tight. We're still trying to determine the nature of the malfunction, but the important thing is you're okay.
What?
It's all right, Ellie. The important thing is that you're safe.
What malfunction? What happened? What day is this?
I'm sorry, Ellie. Did you say what day?
How long was I gone?
Ellie, the IPV dropped straight through the machine. You didn't go anywhere.
But I did. I did go.
That's what I've been trying to tell everyone. But the headset didn't record a single image.
Just this. Static. Thank you. Now, Doctor, let me show you what we saw. Forty-three separate remote cameras show exactly the same event. The IPV dropped straight through. Everyone who watched saw exactly the same thing. Nothing happened. How do you explain this, Doctor?
I can't.
I would encourage you not to inflame this situation beyond the facts. Let us deal with this on the facts. We are monitoring what has actually happened. We are taking what we believe is factually appropriate steps.
Amid a flurry of accusations and counter-accusations by the nations representing the Machine Consortium, the President has ordered a special executive inquiry. However, the appointment to the committee of Michael Kitts, who has recently resigned as National Security Advisor, has raised a number of eyebrows on Capitol Hill.
I have made no decision to run for Congress. I have announced no candidacy. And the fact that I resigned as National Security Advisor has nothing to do with anything other than I want to devote all of my energy to this inquiry. The people of the world have a right to know what really happened.
And yet every scientific instrument confirms the IPV was out of contact for only a fraction of a second. Isn't that correct, Doctor?
A fraction of a second Earth time, yes.
Earth time?
Senator, I believe that the machine opened up a wormhole, a tunnel through the fabric of space-time, also known as an Einstein-Rosen bridge. Now, because of the effects of general relativity, what I experienced is approximately 18 hours passed instantaneously on Earth.
Doctor, isn't it true that these wormholes you speak of are merely theoretical predictions? There is no evidence they actually exist, is there?
There's no direct evidence, no.
Tell me something, Doctor. Why do you think these aliens would go to all this trouble, bring you tens of thousands of light years, and then just send you home without a single shred of proof?
They said that's how it's been done for billions of years.
That's very neat, Doctor. You have no proof, because they didn't want you to have any. A phenomenon known in psychiatric circles, I believe, is a self-reinforcing delusion.
Is that what you think, that I was delusional?
Well, I do think you may have suffered some kind of an episode, yes. I do. Doctor, I'd like to propose an alternate hypothesis, if I may, and I'd like you to bring your considerable scientific expertise to bear on it. To, fake a signal from Vega. What would you need?
You would need a satellite to transmit the signal, but it would be impossible to simulate something.
You'd need a satellite, and you'd need launch capabilities to put the satellite into orbit, and, of course, the message itself, to put something like this together. So complex, drawing on so many different disciplines.
Would be impossible.
Impossible. Impossible. Is there anyone who might have been up to the challenge? Someone with extraordinary technical expertise, enormous financial resources, someone perverse enough, eccentric enough to have come up with the idea in the first place?
Haddon?
S. R. Haddon.
You're implying that this was all some kind of a hoax, that he engineered this?
S. R. Haddon, a legendary power broker and manipulator, in perhaps his final bid for immortality. Maybe he wanted to explore and exploit experimental technologies and get the governments of the world to pick up the tab. Perhaps this was his final altruistic gesture to unite the world in some common goal. Maybe all of the above. S.R. Haddon, a brilliant and complicated man. Doctor, are you familiar with the scientific precept known as Occam's Razor?
Yes. It means that all things being equal, the simplest explanation tends to be the right one.
Exactly. Now, you tell me, what is more likely here? That a message from aliens results in a magical machine that whisks you away to the center of the galaxy to go windsurfing with dear old dad, and then a split second later returns you home without a single shred of proof? Or that your experience is the result of being the unwitting star in the farewell performance of one S.R. Haddon, a man with the means, the motive, and the opportunity to play you and indeed the rest of us as pawns in the biggest, the most elaborate, the most expensive hoax of all time.
Dr. Irway, you come to us with no evidence, no record, no artifacts, only a story that, to put it mildly, strains credibility. Over $500 billion was spent. Dozens of lives were lost. Are you really going to sit there and tell us we should just take this all on faith?
Please answer the question, Doctor.
Is it possible that it didn't happen? Yes. As a scientist, I must concede that. I must volunteer that.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You admit that you have absolutely no physical evidence to back up your story.
Yes.
You admit that you very well may have hallucinated this whole thing.
Yes.
You admit that if you were in our position, you would respond with exactly the same degree of incredulity and skepticism.
Yes.
Then why don't you simply withdraw your testimony and concede that this journey to the center of the galaxy, in fact, never took place?
Because I can't. I had an experience. I can't prove it. I can't even explain it. But everything that I know as a human being, everything that I am, tells me that it was real. I was given something wonderful, something that changed me forever. A vision of the universe that tells us undeniably how tiny and insignificant and how rare and precious we all are. A vision that tells us that we belong to something that is greater than ourselves, that we are not, that none of us are alone. I wish I could share that. I wish that everyone, if even for one moment, could feel that awe and humility and hope. But that continues to be my wish.
As a person of faith, I'm bound by a different covenant than Dr. Irway. But our goal is one and the same. The pursuit of truth. I, for one, believe her.
So what happens now? We give her a medal?
I'd say at least a healthy grant. I assume you read the confidential findings report from the investigating committee.
I flipped through it.
I was especially interested in the section on Arroway's video unit. The one that recorded the static.
Continue.
The fact that it recorded static isn't what interests me.
Continue.
What interests me is that it recorded approximately 18 hours of it.
That is interesting, isn't it?
You can see over there, we're building 45 brand new dishes. And that means that when you put them together with all the different radio telescopes all over the world, then we get to hear farther into space than anybody's ever heard before. Yeah.
Are there other people out there in the universe?
That's a good question. What do you think, huh?
I don't know.
It's a good answer. Skeptic, huh? Well, the most important thing is that you all keep searching for your own answers. I'll tell you one thing about the universe, though. The universe is a pretty big place. It's bigger than anything anyone has ever dreamed of before. So if it's just us, it seems like an awful waste of space.